Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
We have a lot to get to. We have ground to cover. The president finally bothered to speak. They waited. They waited as long as they could. It took until 5 o'clock on Thursday. 5 hours. More than 5 hours. Actually, way longer than 5 hours. After the terrorist attack that killed 13 Americans and upwards of like 170 people total in Afghanistan. Boris Johnson, who I don't believe any British nationals were killed during the terror attack. Boris Johnson was out before the cameras long before Joe Biden was. Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, he could string together a coherent sentence. He could get his act together. The same cannot be said for the President of the United States, which is rather sad and pathetic, quite frankly, that the president has to have a team of people going, all right, well, what do we do? How do we figure this? How do we spin this one? And we heard the best that they could come up with. Honest to God, I thought that Joe Biden was going to fall asleep during his opening statement. His statement, or whatever you want to call it. His reading of the teleprompter. There's literally no energy in this guy whatsoever. Donald Trump was right with low energy, no energy at all. There was no anger. There was no outrage. It was an inconvenience. It was a guy whose weekend plans had been put on hold, and he was kind of upset by that, but he understood that he had to go out and engage in kabuki theater. I think Joe Biden spent more time talking about his dead son, Beau, than he did the Americans killed yesterday because of his incompetence. It's a sad commentary, but it's true. It was more like a speech you'd expect at a memorial service than it was anything that would... Was anybody inspired? Were you inspired by the president's talk? Or like, horrible tragedy. You know, I know what it's like to lose a child. My son, Beau, served in Iraq and in Kosovo. And it's a horrible... Yeah, no. What he never mentions is that his son was a military lawyer. Okay, his son was the secretary or the attorney general of the state of Delaware, and he was also in the reserves, and he was deployed. I think he was only deployed for 6 months to Iraq. Joe always says that he was deployed for a year, and he always gets his rank wrong, too. But he makes it sound, by omission, that Beau Biden was sent over there, no favoritism at all for a Biden kid. It's what he wants implied, that he was out there with a grunt just like everybody else. All the other grunts out there, he was carrying around a rifle and completing missions. His son was a lawyer. Now, the military needs lawyers. The JAG Corps exists for a reason. But it is not as though the officers in the JAG Corps are sent out on patrols. They're simply not. They are well behind the scenes, well behind the lines, doing lawyer things, probably likely prosecuting American soldiers. But to hear Joe talk about his son, you'd think, well, his son was really out there risking his life and taking a chance and serving. He was serving the country, not taking away from that. But it's not stolen valor because his son was actually deployed, but it is certainly borrowed implicit valor, in my opinion. And his son, he always talks about his son and implies that he lost his son in the line of duty. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. Beau Biden had left the military when he died, and he died tragically of a brain cancer. That's horrible. It's an awful situation. I'm not belittling Joe Biden's grief over the loss of his son. I'm sitting here saying at a time when the nation is grieving the loss of 13 Americans because of his incompetence, that wrapping yourself in your son's death in a way that implies that you lost your son sort of the way that we lost those 13 soldiers is fraudulent. Is a scam, is kind of gross, to be perfectly honest with you. There's going to be a reluctance for a lot of people to say that, but Joe Biden does this all the time. Joe Biden has made a career, and I don't want to, I've got to be clear in here, I'm going to be careful, because I don't want to belittle the way anybody grieves. However anybody grieves, you know, you want to crawl into a bottle, you lost somebody you love, and you want to crawl into a bottle for a month or whatever, that's fine, that's up to you. I would never tell you how to grieve. But Joe Biden's family has suffered tragic losses. His first wife died in a car accident, the fault of which, for that car accident, he continually, Joe did, blamed on the driver of the other car, which it turns out that it might have been his wife that was actually at fault for that. He also accused the driver of the other car of being drunk, even though the driver of the other car was not drunk. And he didn't do so just once or twice. He did so throughout his career, to the point that the family of the driver of the other car, after the driver of the other car passed away, he didn't die in the accident. But after the driver of the other car passed away, came out and asked him, please stop saying our father was drunk in that car accident. He wasn't drunk. You know he wasn't drunk. The fact that you lost your wife and your daughter is tragic enough. You don't have to add in, you don't have to embellish the story. But that's what Joe Biden does. Joe Biden spent his career in the Senate talking about his wife and his daughter dying at the hands of a drunk driver in a car accident, which didn't happen. And he brought it up every time it was politically convenient to him, which is kind of gross. Not that you should ever get over the loss completely of your wife and your infant daughter, no matter how many years it's been, but at some point, you've got to stop making everything about you. Losing your child is horrible, and losing Bo Biden, I'm sure, was terrible. Bo Biden was the Biden that Joe had pinned all his hopes on in carrying on the family business, which is politics. He knew it wasn't going to be Hunter. Hunter was out making the money. Hunter was following in the wake of the Biden name and collecting all the money that is available there. And there's a lot of money available there. But he was also, he had a little taste for the whores. And a taste for the cocaine, and a taste for the drink, and a taste for God knows what else. I think if you put anything in front of Hunter Biden, he'd probably take it. Horse tranquilizers, whatever. He's the Keith Moon of the Biden family. So it wasn't going to be the Keith Moon of the Biden family that you're going to hand off your legacy to. It is your son who is in politics, who doesn't have a history of throwing guns away in garbage cans or getting guns illegally or drug use or anything like that. You're probably not going to pin your hopes on that kid. Now Joe kind of has to, which when Hunter couldn't handle the pressure of being the money-earning Biden, he sure as hell can't handle the pressure of being the legacy-sustaining Biden. But Joe found a way to make that speech about himself, talking about his dead son. It was, I was watching it going, you've got to be kidding me. Dude, it's not about you, okay? It is not about you. And don't compare people who were blown up by terrorists, about which you seem disinterested and indifferent at the prospect of them dying at the hands of terrorists, on your watch, as a direct result of your orders and your failed leadership and your god-awful plan to get out of Afghanistan, as a direct result of that, don't compare that to your son who died 10 years ago or whatever it was of brain cancer. Okay. Aside from the fact that you lost loved ones before you, before their time, there is a massive, massive series of differences between the two. You didn't order your son to get brain cancer. You ordered the sons who are lost on Thursday to take a defensive posture, to work inside a very narrow perimeter with bottlenecks, where if you were to ask anybody, look at the Kabul airport, look at what's going on. Now, say you want to attack the Kabul airport and inflict as much carnage as humanly possible. Where would you attack? And oh, by the way, you hate the United States on top of it. Where would you attack? You'd sit there and you'd take all of 2 seconds to go, probably bomb the gates where the Americans are. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Pretty simple, pretty basic stuff. That it took this long to happen is a bit of a mystery. And that's the only mystery. Now, it's so bad, and it's so bad on the ground in Afghanistan, even before the terror attack, there were two members of Congress who snuck over to Afghanistan. They got very, the leadership in the House got very, very upset. Oh, my goodness, can you believe these people? It's not right that they went up. Now, both members of Congress were veterans. Both members of Congress wanted to see things with their own eyes, which I think members of Congress should do. They didn't take military flights in. They've somehow found their own way in. So points for resourcefulness. One of them was a Democrat, Massachusetts Representative Seth Moulton. And even after seeing it firsthand, and Seth Moulton is as partisan of a Democrat as they come. He's a left winger. He's on the team. Even with all that in mind, he came back and this was before the attack, but he said this after the attack, said this morning, that Washington is failing in Afghanistan. They're failing they're doing a horrible job. It's an unbelievable bit of audio from Morning Joe this morning I want to play for you. That to hear a Democrat say this lets you know how bad it is, because Democrats don't say this kind of stuff.
You know, the White House and the president said again yesterday, we're sticking to the August 31st deadline. We're getting out, but we're committed to getting Americans out after that date. What does September 1st look like based on what you saw yesterday? American fighting forces have left, but we still want to get Americans out. We still want to get some Afghan wartime allies out. How do we go about that?
Look, here's the blunt answer, Willie. I don't know, because we don't have a plan. I mean, everything that's happening right now, these extraordinary numbers of people that we're bringing out, it's because of these heroic efforts by our troops and our State Department diplomats, young consular officers trying to sort through immigration paperwork. It's because of their heroism on the ground that we're saving so many people, not because anyone in Washington gave them a plan.
No one in Washington gave them the people in Washington giving them plans are the Biden administration, the Biden Pentagon, the Biden State Department. No, they're doing it in spite of the fact that we have incompetent leadership here at home. That's essentially the message of Congressman Moulton, Democrat, Massachusetts Democrat, not, you know, some middle of the country purple district Democrat, a blue district dyed in the wool Democrat. I think he even ran for president last time, wildly unsuccessfully, but I believe he did. That tells you something, does it not? That gives you an indication of just how bad things are and how incompetent this administration is and how devoid of foresight and a plan they are. I want to play you General Mark Milley. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, right? And about the idea of Bagram Air Force. They're still saying, we don't need Bagram. We're not going to retake Bagram. We're not going to do that. Turns out the reason we left Bagram, the reason we abandoned Bagram, is Joe Biden insisted, can't blame this one on Trump. He insisted that there be only 600 troops there near the end, in the last stages of the Afghan retreat. And you could not hold both Bagram and the U.S. Embassy with only 600 troops. Joe Biden was informed of this. And rather than say, okay, well then, We have the most secure place there is Bagram Air Force Base. That's certainly the best way to evacuate people. So however many troops you need, you take them and you hold both of those places. No. Joe Biden said, I don't care that you can't hold both of those places. I want you to hold the embassy. You can't evacuate anybody from the embassy. Or you can evacuate people from the embassy to someplace else to evacuate them from the country through helicopters, which is what Joe Biden said we wouldn't see. But you can't get them out of the country from the embassy because you can't land a plane there. Helicopters, you can't fly enough helicopters that far, that big enough, that fast to carry all those people. You need an airfield. So they said, well, we'll just use the airport like it's going to BWI or Dulles and going, well, we'll just get people out there and that'll continue to operate normally. This was as, by the way, the Taliban was taking over the country. So listen to General Milley back in June, because now they're saying that nobody said that they planned for every contingency. Remember that? That was the idea. Joe Biden said, we planned for every contingency. They didn't plan for a contingency where things went badly because they gave up Bagram. And General Milley said they didn't need Bagram. He said this back in June.
Is it at all possible to keep Bagram Air Force Base?
Could I make a comment, Secretary? So a couple of quick comments here. On Bagram, is not necessary tactically or operationally for what we're going to try to do here with Afghanistan.
Bagram is not necessary tactically for what we're trying to do here in Afghanistan. Oh, okay. So you can go to the very small airport in the hostile city rather than the massive airbase with multiple runways that is in a secure location. Geographically, it's much easier to defend against and establish a perimeter on where we could control the security. Instead, they put us in a situation where they were completely reliant on the Taliban to provide security. General Milley should be fired, but if he had any dignity, if he had any decency, if he had any honor, he wouldn't have to be fired. He would resign. He doesn't. He isn't. He's still on the job. Tells you something about him, doesn't it? Joe Biden, of course, through all of this, has tried to maintain his normal relationship with the press, and he seems a little bit confused by the fact that he's getting hostile press. Well, that reporters are telling him things like, hey, the American public is not in favor of this. The poll numbers are down, and Joe Biden's response is, I haven't seen that poll. At which point, if you're the president of the United States and your job is to keep up with what's going on in the country and defend this country and all of this, that, and the other thing that the president's supposed to do, this guy isn't doing it, but he's supposed to do, and you start getting questions about, hey, the American public is really looking unfavorably at you on this, and your response is, huh, I haven't heard that, wouldn't you then, as soon as you're off the podium, wouldn't you then go to your chief of staff and go, what the hell are they talking about? What aren't you telling me? Why don't you tell me what you're not telling me? Why don't we get some information? I would think that that would be the way to go. If I were president of the United States and I'm blissfully unaware, grousing, oh man, this terror attack and this mess in Afghanistan is really screwing up my plans to go to the beach for the weekend, I wouldn't, first of all, expect that to go over super well with a whole bunch of people. You know, I can't believe people aren't thinking this is going great. I would be acutely aware of what's going on and be cognizant of it. I'd also ask my chief of staff, what else, what are people, because if you're only giving me, the only way you cannot know that you're not being looked upon favorably by the people is that you just don't want to know. And nobody around you whose job it is to tell you these things is telling you these things. So when you find out about it from a press question, you might go to your chief of staff, like, okay, I get that you're reluctant to tell me these things, to show me these things or whatever, but I need to know them. I need to know them if only so you don't look like an idiot in front of the cameras, right? But no, Joe Biden doesn't seem to care. He doesn't seem to be aware. Of course, when Joe Biden did his little press conference, we got this audio here of Joe Biden. He says he's instructed to call on certain reporters. Every time he does one of these things where he takes questions, he reaches into his breast pocket. I've got my list here. He always says, I've got my list here. yesterday, I think he slipped up because he certainly was not. There are days when he's more on the ball than other days. He's never fully on the ball, but there are days when he's more on the ball than other days. Yesterday, he was not anywhere near the ball. He wasn't even on the ball field. And so he pulled out his little list and he says, these are the people I'm instructed to call on. The stuff in parentheses and the stuff they tell you before you come out to the podium, Joe, are the things that are supposed to be just for you. They're just supposed to be in your head. I get that he's a senile, doddering old man, and that disturbs me that he's the president of the United States. But when he does stuff like this, and I'm going to play for you in a second, you are sending a signal to our enemies and our adversaries and our allies, by the way, that you're not right. You're not there. That there's something wrong here. And they should be fearful. They should be weary. They should be reluctant to deal with you. That kind of thing. We all know that, but saying it is something completely different. And another, I would suggest, sign of dementia. So listen to Joe yesterday say that he was instructed to call on these reporters.
Ladies and gentlemen, he gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
You're the president of the United States. The first person you were instructed to call on? Who's instructing the president of the United States? If you're pressing, look, you've got to call on Kelly O'Donnell or Nora O'Donnell. One of the O'Donnells. I don't know. Just pick an O'Donnell. Just say O'Donnell. Just make sure. Instead, I know how this stuff works. The staff gave him the list and said, all right, well, here's the order in which you're calling them. You don't say, first person I was instructed to call out on was this person. You don't do that. Of course, his answers got worse and worse and worse. One of the questions was, you know, hey, this terrorist attack, pretty bad. Would you consider kicking back the deadline? Since, you know, if you were an American already fearful, have already tried to get to the Kabul airport a couple of times and didn't make it because the terrorists wouldn't let you through. They, instead of honoring your American passport or your travel documents, they decided to beat you about the head and neck with a rubber hose. So you went back into hiding. The fact that so you're already, you know, on edge, understandably so. Already on edge, that the president says, but keep going, go to the airport. Wouldn't you be a little bit reluctant going, okay, if we try again, we've tried three times, they might beat the hell out of me. You know, we've gotten away with our lives so far. We haven't been arrested. We've just been turned back. But as the deadline approaches, it's not like the Taliban's going to say, well, all right, be a little bit looser, let them go. No, the Taliban realizes that they've got only a couple of days to keep this up, and they get more hostages without actually having to take the hostages, without actually having to, you know, put them in blindfolds and trot them out for a camera or put them in a basement somewhere where maybe word gets out. See, that's why the Taliban hasn't kidnapped Americans yet. That's why, because if you're sitting there and you hear, well, they're not letting people through, you think, well, if they really want to hold Americans hostage, why wouldn't they just take them? Well, because that would be something that I think even Joe Biden would have, I wouldn't say he wouldn't do it, but he would have difficulty ignoring if they're Americans being held by the Taliban. That would be something difficult for Joe Biden to ignore. He'd almost have to act. Because I don't think Democrats, a lot of Democrats anyway, some would not care, but I don't even think a lot of Democrats would go, well, you know, it's Joe, he's the president, we've got to respect what the president is doing. No. So they don't have to, with the situation that the Biden administration set up, they don't have to actually take these people hostage. They can prevent them from getting to the only place the Biden administration has U.S. troops operating. You can keep them blocks and blocks or miles away from the airport. You've effectively taken them hostage without actually taking them hostage. So they get reports, they'll get a phone call, the Biden administration, the State Department will say, we tried to get to the airport and they wouldn't let us through. And the Biden administration will say, well, keep trying, keep trying. It's different than if you found out that 50 Americans were simply just taken hostage and are now being held in a prison cell somewhere. It's effectively the same, but it's different. So if the Taliban now knows that they just have to get through probably Sunday, maybe Monday, in keeping people away from the airport, and then you've effectively got them hostage. You don't have to actually imprison them to prevent them from leaving. Once the Americans are gone, then, you know, it's game on. You can do whatever you want. You can keep them basically under house arrest. You can keep them under neighborhood arrest, or you can simply arrest them. None of this, by the way, seems to have occurred to Joe Biden, and it doesn't matter. Even if it did or it didn't, it doesn't matter because he will not alter his mission. He will not alter his timeline, and he won't do anything to even go after. He won't even keep troops there to go after the ISIS-K terrorists they're alleging were responsible for the murder of 13 Americans. I want you to listen to Joe Biden say, no, 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 we're not going to alter. We're going to strike out at them at some point, some way, maybe. We think we know who they are. You think you know who they are. I'll comment on that after we listen to Joe here.
I have said leaving Afghanistan is in the national interest of the United States. After today's attack, do you believe you will authorize additional forces to respond to that attack inside Afghanistan? And are you prepared to add additional forces to protect those Americans who remain on the ground carrying out the evacuation operation?
I've instructed the military, whatever they need, if they need additional force, I will grant it. But the military, from chairman of the Joint Chiefs, commanders in the field, have all contacted me one way or another, usually by letter, saying they subscribe to the mission as designed. To get as many people out as we can within the time frame that is allotted. That is the best way they believe to get as many Americans out as possible and others. And with regard to finding, tracking down the ISIS leaders who ordered this, we have some reason to believe we know who they are, not certain, and we will find ways of our choosing without large military operations.
We'll find a way of our choosing. We think we know who these people are, but we're not sure. Well, here's just a thought, Joe. If you're a member of ISIS-K, kill them. All right. If you know where ISIS-K members are, kill them. It's not like they're just, well, it's the part of, that's the peaceful wing of ISIS-K. It's the non-violent wing of that terrorist organization. They are a terrorist organization. Being a member of that organization, members of that organization killed Americans. Okay? So if you know where they are, it's not, well, this guy, we know where he is. He's definitely ISIS-K. He's with a whole bunch of ISIS-K people, but we don't believe that they were the ones who attacked us. So we're just going to leave those terrorists alone. That's not probably the smartest play in the world, is it? It just doesn't strike me as the smartest play. You've got a terrorist. They're either a terrorist organization or they're not. They're either a threat to the United States and our allies, or they are not. If they are, take them out. All right? You don't say, well, we were attacked by this group. But, or you're a shop owner, right? You're a shop owner. We'll just place you in New Jersey because that's where The Sopranos were filmed. You're a shop owner, and the guy who comes in from the Soprano family to shake you down for the protection money is Vito. Just Vito. But, you know, we could go and arrest Tony, or we could go and arrest Sal, or we could go and arrest all these other... No, no, no. Leave them alone. I've only been harassed by Vito. So wait for Vito to come around. No, no. You go after the whole organization. Because they're all just as guilty. Yeah, Vito might be the one threatening to kick your skull in if you don't give him the money, but they're all kind of down with it. If Tony didn't want your skull kicked in by Vito, he'd tell Vito. And Vito would likely go, all right, I guess I won't kick his skull in because the boss says don't do it, or my higher up says do it. If you're a member of a terrorist organization, I don't know for sure, but I'd be willing to bet if I were putting my chips on the table that there aren't very many peaceful members of a terrorist organization. No, I just handle the books for the terrorist organization. I abhor what they do, but you know, I've got a degree in accounting. And everybody's got to work, so what are you going to do? No, I don't think that's an acceptable answer, at least not to me. And I would hope that it would not be an acceptable answer to the president of the United States of America. But apparently it is. We're going to find only the people that we can somehow determine in a country completely hostile to us now, because we've given it over to terrorists, who the responsible parties are. And we will go after them at a time and place of our choosing, once we know what? Once we know what, beyond a reasonable doubt? How about, hey, there's a whole bunch of ISIS-K people over there. Let's blow them up. We might not get anybody involved in this particular attack, but you know what? They're going to be involved in some kind of particular attack, and maybe we do get somebody in this particular attack. But you know what it does? Because you can't say, well, we would just upset them. That might cause them to do something else. That might cause a reaction. Well, they're terrorists. I think that they're, whatever they do as a reaction is what they do anyway, right? It's not like they've got a warehouse full of suicide belts and they go, well, let's just leave them sitting there. Let's let everything go and leave the world peaceful. And then somebody does something to them and says, all right, now it's time to break out the suicide vest. No, no. They're prepared to kill people. It's what they do. It's who they are. If you kill them first, you remove the possibility of them killing people. And the liberal argument of all we do by killing terrorists is create more terrorists. Well, then we kill them too. All right. And if you are on the fence, if you are somebody in the world over there who is, you know, indifferent at best towards terrorism, towards blowing up, murdering civilians, beheading people or whatever. But the death of somebody who does kill people, who does behead people, who does blow up people, if that's your tipping point, well, I was just going to go to college and, you know, try to marry, have some kids, get a job and just try and live my life herding my goats or whatever. But now that they've killed these incredibly violent monsters, I feel as though I must get revenge on them. I think you're already inclined to become a terrorist. I don't think we're manufacturing you. I don't think there are many PhD candidates or even associate's degree candidates over there who are just content to mind their own business until some terrorist was killed. And they decided, well, to hell with it. I'm going to go blow myself up. So we should be going after these people wherever they are, whenever we know where they are. If you are in the group, you are guilty. We didn't differentiate between Al-Qaeda and the Al-Qaeda membership who was high enough ranking to have been involved in the plotting and planning of 9/11. We should not do the same here. Membership has its privileges and its disadvantages. So if you're in, we're going to take you out. At least that's what we'd do if I were president. But then again, I'm not a doddering, senile old man, so what the hell do I know? I want to continue along the lines of this audio that we have and the reaction of these people in charge. And it's adult human beings who are supposed to be, you know, adults and honorable and smart, knowledgeable. I think one of the things that we're witnessing here is what has been going on for a very long time, most notably with COVID. And it is the death of expertise. It's not that people were wrong. People can be wrong. It's that when people are wrong and proven wrong, shown to be wrong, everybody knows they're wrong, and they still insist that they're right. No, 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 I'm still right. No, 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 you're the one who's wrong. You're crazy. What are you going to do? You believe me or are you going to believe your lying eyes? No, that doesn't make any sense. Joe Biden telling you, look, things are going well. Yeah, aside from that terror attack that killed 170 people, it's going great. And it's all going according to plan, which is the insane part. the insane part of all of this. Let me get back to the Biden audio here. Joe Biden refuses to just say, look, relying on the Taliban to provide perimeter security around the airport was a mistake. He won't say that. He can't say that. And it's incredibly, it's abundantly clear. We have 13 dead Americans, 170 dead human beings to prove that. It's obviously true. Either if it was ISIS-K, either the Taliban or some Taliban person let the explosives go through. And there isn't a dime's worth of difference between, you know, you name the radical Islamic terrorist group. Ultimately, they all hate us. They all hate anybody who isn't them. And, you know, their arguments, their disagreements, the extent to which they fight is for control of their movement, not for, you know, well, these radical Islamic terrorists think that women should be able to walk around free and get educated. No, I don't think ISIS is all that interested in educating women. I think they're just as interested in marrying 12-year-olds as the average Taliban is. It's just that the Taliban leaders, they want to be in charge. And the other leaders of ISIS-K, they want to be in charge. It's that simple. The various factions of communism at the beginning of the last century in this country and around the world, they always were fighting with each other. They weren't fighting with each other because, well, we believe in communism only 50% of the way, whereas they believe 75% of the way, and the other guys believe 100% communism. No, they just wanted to be the ones in charge. They wanted to be calling the shots. There were nuanced differences in how things should be run, and the arrogance of individuals, which is weird considering that they're communists, the arrogance of individuals was that, no, I'm the one. I'm the only one who can do this right. They will do it wrong. Individuality always screws up communism everywhere you go, doesn't it? But Joe Biden, looking at the situation, even after the terror attack, where there's no other way those explosives got into the airport except for the Taliban guards let it go, he's still, that's not a mistake. Because one was apparently a car bomb, the other was a suicide bomber. That's a lot of explosives to kill that many people. It's a lot of explosives to kill that many people. You have to have not searched somebody to have missed that much. And that much explosives, you kind of almost have to, you can't not see it. You shouldn't have to search too hard for it. It's not like you can sneak it in a briefcase and that's enough. No, these were rather large explosives to kill that many people. And Joe Biden saying, no, he won't call relying on the Taliban for securing the perimeter of the airport a mistake.
There's been some criticism, even from people in your party, about the dependence on the Taliban to secure the perimeter of the airport. Do you feel like there was a mistake made in that regard?
No, I don't. Look, I think General McKenzie handled this question very well. The fact is that we're in a situation, we inherited a situation, particularly since, as we all know, that the Afghan military collapsed 11 days before, in 11 days, that it is in the interest of, as McKenzie said, in the interest of the Taliban, that in fact ISIS-K does not metastasize beyond what it is, number one. And number two, it's in their interest that we are able to leave on time, on target. As a consequence of that, the major things we've asked them, moving back the perimeter, giving more space between the wall, stopping vehicles from coming through, etc., searching people coming through, it is not what you'd call a tightly commanded, regimented operation like the U.S. is, military is. But they're acting in their interest.
They're acting in their interest. It's not a tightly commanded thing like the U.S. military. Well, then why in the hell are you relying on them? If it's just kind of a loosey-goosey band of dudes wearing robes, kind of indifferent, uncertain, why are you relying on them to do that? We are the United States of America, last I checked. We're still the United States of America. We still have the strongest military on the face of the earth that the planet has ever seen. That we couldn't tell these people, look, we're coming out. You're not handling the perimeter very well. We're coming out. We're taking, a mile in every direction. And we're going to run the checkpoints. And it's going to be military only. We're going to fire on anybody who doesn't comply. You got to get everybody there. And why we don't do that, I don't know. Now, the General McKenzie that Biden was referring to there is, no. General McKenzie said he doesn't do that. He doesn't do this. General McKenzie is the commander of CENTCOM, Central Command. He was part of the Pentagon briefing on this subject. And he says that there's nothing to convince him that the Taliban let the attack happen. Now, again, keep that in mind. The only way for the explosives, unless they've been sitting there for years and years and years, the only way for the explosives to make it through the Taliban-provided perimeter would be that the Taliban were complicit or wildly ignorant. Neither option is particularly good, but the general in charge of Central Command, General McKenzie, it's hard to see what you refuse to look for. I'll just put it that way.
Do you still trust the Taliban, and is it possible that they let this happen?
So as to whether or not they let it happen, I don't know. I don't think there's anything to convince me that they let it happen. As to whether or not I trust them, that's a word I use very carefully. You've heard me say before, it's not what they say, it's what they do. They have a practical reason for wanting us to get out of here by the 31st of August. And that's that they want to reclaim the airfield.
The idea that they have a practical reason, that they want us out of there as badly as we want out. Yes, they do. But they also have a practical reason to take as many swipes at us as they possibly think they can get away with. And this was a pretty big swipe. Because why? Because then they get to say, look, we chased out. If everything goes and everybody orderly evacuates, even with the Taliban in control of Kabul, then they have more of a difficult time saying, we chased the Americans out of there. But if they attack, they allow attacks, whatever it is, attacks happen. And we go, no, we're still leaving. Come on. And we leave people behind. We're in such a hurry to leave. Then they can say, we chased them out. The big, bad United States of America is afraid of us. And as stupid as that sounds to a normal human being, you're not dealing with people with even a kindergarten education. You're dealing with people who have never received an education at all whatsoever, who have been propagandized into a form of Islam that is radical, that is extreme, their entire lives. Maybe not mobilized before, but at least radicalized to that. And then you say, we chased off the great Satan. We chased out them. We are powerful. Join us. Well, you got not a lot going on for a lot of Afghanis who look for meaning in life elsewhere externally, to whom that sounds pretty good. Well, all right. Well, if we are doing what we're doing on behalf of God's will, and they were strong enough to chase off the great Satan, the United States of America, then maybe it's God's will that they dominate this country, that they dominate this region, so on and so forth. I'm going to go into this. And then once they get their claws into these people, they don't let go. They just dig them deeper and deeper and deeper. It is a psychological manipulation that these people go through. The leaders are fully aware of what they're doing. They get the simple-minded in, and then they build their army. General McKenzie doesn't seem to think that. No, I haven't seen anything. Have you been looking, General? Have you been looking? It's been like 12 hours when you said that since the attack. How much intel could you have said that you could say definitively, I haven't seen anything that suggests that they let it happen? And then General McKenzie said he expects the Taliban to continue to offer protection. These are the people whose protection led to the deaths of 170 civilians.
We expect those attacks to continue, and we're doing everything we can to be prepared for those attacks. That includes reaching out to the Taliban, who are actually providing the outer security cordon around the airfield, to make sure they know what we expect them to do to protect us. And we will continue to coordinate with them as they go forward.
Yeah, they're going to keep doing what we expect them to. We're going to make sure they know what we expect them to do in order to continue to protect us. The United States of America is relying on misogynistic, child-molesting troglodytes to provide security for Americans. And to help the Taliban do that, the Biden administration is apparently giving lists of people that they want to get through those checkpoints. Now, at this point, why would you trust these people? But at this point, even if you did, you give these people, the fact that you need to give people a list, say, hey, these Americans are coming through, you're essentially giving them a kill list. Not a kill list, but a kidnap list, an obstruct list. And even if Joe Biden says we expect these people to get through, you've just incentivized the Taliban to not let them through. These are higher value targets that the Americans want. Can't kidnap them, can't kill them, but we can prevent them from getting through, whether it's preventing them from getting through by physically refusing their passage or by clogging up the passageway so that they just simply can't get through, like a traffic jam. Whatever the case is, you're dealing with evil people, not stupid people, when it comes to leading the Taliban. There's a difference. As stupid as evil is, the people who do evil are not generally stupid. People who do evil deliberately are not generally stupid. The idea of the government of the United States providing our enemy, even though our government won't call them the enemy, with a list of names of Americans and American allies that we expect to get through a checklist, that idea is so unbelievably stupid as to almost be a joke. But yesterday, the president of the United States, he doesn't deny giving the Taliban what amounts to a kill list. He actually seems so disinterested in it that he doesn't know whether or not it happened. Listen.
I can't tell you with any certitude that there's actually been a list of names. I know there may have been, but I know of no circumstance. It doesn't mean didn't exist. That here's the names of 12 people. They're coming, let them through. It could very well have happened. I'll take one more.
I don't know. What have we been told about this president? What have we been told about this situation? Why, Joe Biden is Johnny on the spot. Boy, howdy, he is on the ball. He is in the Situation Room. He's been in the Situation Room all day long, getting constant briefings from the Pentagon, from Afghanistan, from all the various CIA posts around the world. He is on the ball. So we're told by Ginger Goebbels and all the rest of these sycophants who work in this White House. Now, if you're on the ball, should you not then know that your administration gave the enemy a list of names of people you want out? You basically gave them a list of high-value targets? Because if this list exists, and there are reports that these lists have been given out, then that's exactly what they did. And the Taliban doesn't have to stop everybody. You give a list of 500 names, you can let 400 through. You know what you have after that? You still have 100 potential hostages. You still have 100 people going forward that you can obstruct and use as leverage. 100's pretty good. If you don't let anybody through, then obviously that's a problem that even Joe Biden, I don't think, could ignore. But if you keep enough of them back, you can do all kinds of things. The possibilities are endless. And when you're dealing with people who deal in evil, who view evil as a legitimate tactic and an ultimate goal, you can't put anything past them. When you're dealing with a senile, doddering old man in charge of the United States of America, you can put literally anything past him. That's about all the time we have. It's Monday. Let's get back to the week. Let's just make this week go flying by. Hopefully the weather is nice where you are. Supposed to rain here all week. We shall see. But the weekend's not supposed to be bad. So we got that going for you. Hopefully if you're down in the Gulf Coast area, everything is doing well with the hurricane. Probably not, but we can hope. We'll get you through it. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.